Text 71.
I lived 2 years in this dismal condition, wasting that little I had, weeping continually over my dismal circumstances, and, as it were, only bleeding to death, without the least hope or prospect of help from God or man. And now I had cried so long and so often that tears were, as I might say, exhausted, and I began to be desperate, for I grew poor apace. For a little relief, I had put off my house and took lodgings, and as I was reducing my living, so I sold off most of my goods, which put a little money in my pocket, and I lived near a year upon that, spending very sparingly and eking things out to the utmost. But still, when I looked before me, my very heart would sink within me at the inevitable approach of misery and want. Oh, let none read this part without seriously reflecting on the circumstances of a desolate state, and how they would grapple with mere want of friends and want of bread. It will certainly make them think not of sparing what they have only, but of looking up to heaven for support and of the wise man's prayer, "Give me not poverty, lest I steal." Let them remember that a time of distress is a time of dreadful temptation, and all the strength to resist is taken away. Poverty presses, the soul is made desperate by distress, and what can be done? It was one evening when being brought, as I may say, to the last gasp, I think I may truly say I was distracted and raving when prompted by I know not what spirit and, as it were, doing I did not know what or why, I dressed me, for I had still pretty good clothes, and went out. I am very sure I had no manner of design in my head when I went out. I neither knew nor considered where to go or on what business. But as the devil carried me out and laid his bait for me, so he brought me, to be sure, to the place, for I knew not whither I was going or what I did. Wandering thus about, I knew not whither, I passed by an apothecary's shop in Leadenhall Street, where I saw lie on a stool just before the counter a little bundle wrapped in a white cloth. Beyond it stood a maidservant with her back to it, looking up towards the top of the shop, where the apothecary's apprentice, as I suppose, was standing upon the counter, with his back also to the door and a candle in his hand, looking and reaching up to the upper shelf for something he wanted, so that both were engaged mighty earnestly and nobody else in the shop. This was the bait, and the devil who I said laid the snare as readily prompted me as if he had spoke, for I remember and shall never forget it was like a voice spoken to me over my shoulder. Take the bundle, be quick, do it this moment. It was no sooner said but I stepped into the shop and with my back to the wench, as if I had stood up for a cart that was going by, I put my hand behind me and took the bundle and went off with it, the maid or the fellow not perceiving me or anyone else. It is impossible to express the horror of my soul all the while I did it. When I went away, I had no heart to run or scarce to mend my pace. I crossed the street indeed and went down the first turning I came to, and I think it was a street that went through into Fenchurch Street. From hence I crossed and turned through so many ways and turnings that I could never tell which way it was, nor where I went. For I felt not the ground I stepped on, and the farther I was out of danger, the faster I went, till tired and out of breath, I was forced to sit down on a little bench at a door, and then I began to recover, and found I was got into Thames Street near Billingsgate. I rested me a little and went on. My blood was all in a fire. My heart beat as if I was in a sudden fright. In short, I was under such a surprise that I still knew not whither I was going or what to do. After I had tired myself thus with walking a long way about, and so eagerly, I began to consider and make home to my lodging, where I came about 9 o'clock at night. What the bundle was made up for, or on what occasion laid where I found it, I knew not. But when I came to open it, I found there was a suit of childbed linen in it, very good and almost new, the lace very fine. There was a silver porringer of a pint, a small silver mug and 6 spoons with some other linen, a good smock, and 3 silk handkerchiefs, and in the mug, wrapped up in a paper, 18 shillings 6 pence in money. All the while I was opening these things, I was under such dreadful impressions of fear and in such terror of mind, though I was perfectly safe, that I cannot express the manner of it. I sat me down and cried most vehemently, "Lord," said I, "what am I now? A thief? Why, I shall be taken next time and be carried to Newgate and be tried for my life." And with that I cried again a long time. And I am sure, as poor as I was, if I had durst for fear, I would certainly have carried the things back again. But that went off after a while. Well, I went to bed for that night, but slept little. The horror of the fact was upon my mind, and I knew not what I said or did all night and all the next day. Then I was impatient to hear some news of the loss, and would fain know how it was, whether they were a poor body's goods or a rich. "Perhaps," said I, "it may be some poor widow like me that had packed up these goods to go and sell them for a little bread for herself and a poor child, and are now starving and breaking their hearts for want of that little they would have fetched." And this thought tormented me worse than all the rest for 3 or 4 days' time. But my own distresses silenced all these reflections, and the prospect of my own starving, which grew every day more frightful to me, hardened my heart by degrees. It was then particularly heavy upon my mind that I had been reformed and had, as I hoped, repented of all my past wickedness, that I had lived a sober, grave, retired life for several years. But now I should be driven by the dreadful necessity of my circumstances to the gates of destruction, soul and body. And 2 or 3 times I fell upon my knees, praying to God as well as I could for deliverance. But I cannot but say my prayers had no hope in them. I knew not what to do. It was all fear without and dark within. And I reflected on my past life as not sincerely repented of, that heaven was now beginning to punish me on this side the grave and would make me as miserable as I had been wicked. Had I gone on here, I had perhaps been a true penitent, but I had an evil counsellor within, and he was continually prompting me to relieve myself by the worst means. So one evening, he tempted me again, by the same wicked impulse that had said, "Take that bundle," to go out again and seek for what might happen.